Good morning, everyone. Let's just open with a word of prayer before we start. Father, we're just so thankful for your presence and for your goodness. And Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that you would come and that you would speak as only you can. Father, that you would flow. You know what each one has need of. You know what season each one of us is in. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would speak as only you can. And Lord, that you would show forth your mighty grace, your love, and your mercy in our midst, O God. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, as you know, Daniel's been doing a Bible study on the life of Christ. And it's been very good. But one of the aspects he brought out really was quickened to me, and I know it was quickened to my husband too, is the scriptures about that the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And it says that several times in scripture, but Psalm 90 in verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. And we were talking about how that's hard for our earthly minds to comprehend eternity. And eternity is not just forward, it's backward too, in a sense. And so this word everlasting, as Daniel brought out, it means to the vanishing point. To the vanishing point. It's like, and this is an easy analogy for us who live on the beach here, but it's like you see a ship come seemingly out of nowhere, and then they pass in front of you, and then they go off, and it's over the horizon. It's like they vanish out of sight. And that's almost like what eternity is. We don't know the Lord's beginning, and obviously eternity, there's no end. And yet we understand that he is from everlasting to everlasting. But as my husband brought out, the Lord is on a journey, and he comes from eternity past. He comes, and he wants us to join him in this journey with him as he calls us. And then we continue with him into walking in this life and then into eternity. And, you know, it's hard for us to understand eternity. It's veiled from our eyes because it does go beyond the vanishing point while we're here on earth. But when we cross over into eternity, we will enter into those things that have not been known, that have not been seen, that we've only seen darkly through a glass. It will become perfect. It will become clear. And even all of who Christ is will become so real. We will know the one in whom we have loved and we have served all these years. It will become so clear. And yet God gives us what we need in this journey until we go into everlasting with him. But those that have gone before us, you know, our loved ones, they have gone. They have gone into and beyond, into that vanishing point. They've crossed into eternity, those that have walked with the Lord. And so we will be there too one day, but we've got to finish our race. Amen? We've got to finish our race. And so we want to walk in the ways of God, and Christ is everlasting. He's everlasting in his being, but also in his nature. And Christ's beautiful qualities are also eternal. And in scripture, there are several things, characteristics of God that are connected with this Hebrew word everlasting, his mercy. Actually, it says his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. His truth, his righteousness, his strength, that could be a series on its own. His kindness, his light is everlasting. But the thing that's on my heart today is another aspect of God's everlasting character, and that's his everlasting love. His everlasting love. Because not only is Christ everlasting, but so is his love. And in Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And this word everlasting is the same Hebrew word. It's an eternal love. God's love is everlasting, and on this journey with the Lord into everlasting, we must never forget that his love for us is also everlasting. Love is the beginning of our journey with him. It was love that drew us to him. God brought us to that point of salvation, but his love continues. It leads us through our journey, but it also continues into eternity. Love is eternal, and I want to look at this thought quickly from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. Charity, which we understand means love, love never fails. It means it doesn't stop. It's not cut off. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part in this earth. But when that which is perfect is come, when we go into that eternity and we see him, then all those other things shall be done away. And here what the Apostle Paul is saying is that, you know, we want to desire the gifts, we want to flow in the gifts, but they're not eternal. They have an end. There's an end to those things. They help us, they guide us, they edify us. But as Paul eloquently states, he said, there's a more excellent way, and that's love. And love will never fail. It will never cease. It will continue into eternity. And God's agape love is the thread that ties our journey together with him from the beginning to eternity and everything in between. God's love is there in every experience, in every joy, in every trial. God's love carries us through. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. And part of that is because it's linked to his foreknowledge. He knows us. And in fact, his love is from everlasting, because before we even knew him, before we even wanted to come close to him, he loved us. And he had a plan for our lives, each one of us. Before the earth was created, he knew you. He knew his plan he had for your life. He loved you. And he, in his love, it was eternal past, but it's also eternal now. I mean, it's in the present and into eternity, because God knew us and prepared us for a divine purpose. And that's what he said to Jeremiah. He said, before you were created, before you were in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet. And so God knows our calling, and he understands who we are. So his love is tied to that foreknowledge. He is God who knows everything about us, and he has a plan for our lives, even from eternity past. But love also flows from each part of the Godhead. And the Godhead is made up of three parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And love is associated with each part, because love flows from the Father. And we know that God is love. In 1 John 4:16, it says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so the epitome of love flows from the Father. He is love. And we'll see that it flows from the Father to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. But the source is the Father. And the love of the Father was demonstrated to us by giving his Son. And we all know this verse very well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so here we see it was the Father. It was the Father who gave his Son. It was the Father's love. And his love is perfect. It's not human love. This word for love is agape. It means a divine, perfect love that comes from the Father. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand God's love, because we look at it through our understanding of love. And human love often only will give love if we know we're going to receive love. But that's not agape love. God's love gave without any thought of receiving. He gave because he loved. His heart was to give. And that is the essence of God's agape love. It's to give without thinking of self, and to give more than wanting to receive. And all that God does in our lives is motivated by love, his love toward us. The Heavenly Father is a Father of love. And he is the source of love, and that love is everlasting. And we see love in the Son too. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, and then we'll skip to 39. But here, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through this. We'll look at that a little bit later. He said, but in verse 39, it says, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that's so interesting. It says nothing will separate us from the love of Christ, but it comes from the love of God. The love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. So even the love that's in Christ, it comes from the Father. And nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing can keep us from that love. In verse 39, it says that the love in Christ comes from the Father, so nothing can separate us from that love. It's always there. Another aspect of Christ's love is seen in Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so here we see the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And, you know, Pastor Gazaway was here a few months ago, and he was sharing that God's love, his agape love, can cover even the knowledge of things that have been done to us by other people, can cover those disturbing thoughts and memories. The love of God can wash those things away, the love of Christ. But also the Holy Spirit. The everlasting love of God is also associated with him, because in Galatians 5:22, we know that love is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the love of God is worked into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see throughout Scripture, that as we yield our life to what God brings into our lives and we allow the Holy Spirit to work, he will begin to develop that fruit of love in our lives. And we also see this in Romans 5. In verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." And so we see the source of love is from the Father. It flows through the Son. And then the Holy Spirit is the one, as we open our hearts to the Father, into the message and the work and the blood of the Son, into the work of the Holy Spirit, the love of God can begin to flow in our own lives. And the love of God is in every part of our journey. It's that thread that ties it all together in his divine purposes, because we know that God's love is the bond of perfection. It's the bond that brings completeness in our lives. And Peter talks about that too. We build on our faith and the end is love. But we don't stay there. That love is to pour out in love to other people and in ministry. But as I said, the beginning of our journey is love. When God apprehended us, we experienced that at salvation. And we're all here because we're saved. And we met with God and we experienced the love shown for us because God sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And we responded to that love and we surrendered our lives, making him our Lord and Savior. We confessed our sins and his forgiveness flowed and his blood washed away our sins. And oh, we felt the love of God in that experience. And the love of God saved us and quickened us to life. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." And so we see from the very beginning, you know, God showed his love for us. And even when we were sinners, his love was there. And we see how amazing his love is that quickened us and that set us free from the things of our past. But it doesn't end there. God's love doesn't end at salvation. It continues in our lives because it says that he will continue to show forth his loving kindness to us, not just in this life, but in the ages to come. There will be a continuing unveiling of his kindness, of his love and his goodness toward us. But there's so much more that God wants us to experience in the love of God beyond salvation. And there are many dimensions to love. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And there we see that analogy of the fruit of the Spirit being rooted and grounded. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so here we see that God's love has dimensions. It's wide, it's long, it's deep, it's high. And in life, God will take us through different experiences so that we can understand the width, the height, the depth, and the length of his love. He will take us through many seasons, but in each one, God wants us to experience his love. from the heights of salvation and water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, deliverance, breakthrough, victory, even to the depths of sorrow and surrender, the times when God circumcises things in our lives, those times we have to wait, in times of delay, even in times when we have to put things to death. God's love is there. His love is there. And he wants us to know it and to understand and experience it. You know, I was thinking about Pastor Bailey and when he was going through that crucifying experience of surrendering his wife to the Lord. Do you remember what the Lord said to him? Who loves your wife more, you or me? And Pastor Bailey said, you, Lord. And he was able to surrender because of love. We can never forget that aspect of God, even when things are difficult and hard. His love is what gives us the strength to do what he's asking us to do. And it's something we have to remember and keep in our hearts. In every trial and battle, God's love is there. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And a banner was a flag that was tied to a pole, and it was a rallying point, a point that brought unity, that brought strength to an army in times of battle. And the banner was a symbol of God's presence, his protection, his victory. But here we see his banner is love, is that sense of protecting us, of covering us, of walking with us, of giving us all that we need, knowing we're not in these battles alone. God's love is our rallying point because nothing, absolutely nothing can conquer the love of God. As we just read, it never fails. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And you know, I was reading the story about Corrie ten Boom and her sister. As you know, they hid the Jews during World War II, and they were caught and they were put into a concentration camp, and they experienced horrific things there, very difficult things, many experiences where they had to identify with the Lord. And, you know, after they were released, Corrie, one sister, Betsy, passed away, but Corrie shared her testimony amongst the nations. And this is one thing she said, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. You know, it doesn't matter how deep the trial. It doesn't matter how much the pressure is that we're experiencing. And sometimes we can look at that and think, well, God's not with me. Or he can feel so far away. But the reality is, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. When God is bringing us into those situations, we must never forget that his love is with us, even as his love is with Corrie and Betsy, and it carried them through. You know, whether it's the pressure or the peril, God's love is what keeps us together. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, for the love of God constraineth us. And that word constrain means to hold together, to hold together. And God's love is able to hold us together in the most difficult situations, in the midst of confusion and uncertainty. God's love can hold us together. You know, in Hebrews 11:2, it says, God's word framed the universe. God spoke, and though the power of those words holds the universe together, it keeps everything in its place. How much more can God hold you together? How much more can God's love hold us together in the midst of difficulty? When it seems like things are just falling apart around us, God is good and he's loving and he walks with his people. And God's love causes us to overcome. He makes us more than conquerors because of that love. And so his love is a rallying point in our tribulations. When everything else can seem so difficult, when everything else can just push against us and against our minds, the one thing we can hold on to is Nothing can separate me from you, God. Nothing can separate me from your love. You are with me. Your love is here. This is the very best thing for me, and you will bring me through. You know, God's love can conquer our fears and our anxieties. Fear does not come from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." It's very clear when fear comes, that is not from God. That is not from God. And the scriptures are full of the Lord encouraging us, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. In the world, you'll have trouble. With me, you'll have peace. I've overcome the world. You know, let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving, and his peace will pass your understanding. Even though we don't understand why we're in that trial or how we're going to get out of this trial, how God's going to bring us through, yet we can come to God and he can pour his love and his peace into our lives. God's given us power. He's given us love and a sound mind. And so often in our battles, it's mental. I mean, we're going through something, but it's very mental. It's very mental. And especially when we're going through things, we can be more vulnerable. You know, maybe sickness, or you've gone through a loss, or, you know, something has really shook your world, and you can become more vulnerable, and you really struggle in your mind. And you can know, in a sense, well, God, you're there, but I don't know if you're here with me. Do you know what I'm saying? God, you're there. I know you're there. But you have that sense that he's not here, and you can feel very alone. And sometimes when that happens, anxieties and fears come in. But our God is not a God who's afar off. I remember one time I was in my car before I was married, and I was just praying on my way home. I had been visiting with my parents. I was driving back to Bible school, and I was praying. And I didn't really think about how I was praying or anything. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me in my spirit, and he said, "I'm right here." And I realized I was like yelling. Like I was praying really loud. Like I had to yell to the high heavens for him to hear me. And, you know, I'm like, "Lord, I'm so sorry. You are right here." It was like I had that picture in my mind, like he's right in the car with me. And, you know, God's not a million miles away. Sometimes it could feel like that. I'm not saying you're going to feel his presence 100% of the time, but does that negate his love? Does that negate the truth that he's with us, that he's walking with us? No, it doesn't. He is with us. You know, when the disciples were crossing in the boat to the other side, and it says they were toiling and they weren't getting anywhere. And Jesus was watching them from the hilltop. And I looked up that word toil, and it has the thought of like misery. It's more than just spending energy. Like they were in a terrible trial. It was just misery. It was just so difficult. And yet God was there and he was watching over them. And as soon as, you know, the Lord came, he met with them and he brought them to their desired haven. But, you know, sometimes it can feel like that, like God's afar off, but he's not. He's right there. He's watching you, and God's love is a banner for you. In Jeremiah 23:23, this is in the New King James Version, it said, "I am a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off." Am I a God near at hand? Yes, God, you are a God who's near at hand. And so we want these things to sink into our hearts and our minds. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never leave us alone, because that's not what love does. Love is a commitment. Love is a commitment. And love bears all things and endures all things. It never fails. It won't fall away. Many things in life may fail you, but God's love will never fail you. He's always there. And his love toward you is powerful. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And that's so true. Fear is, it has torment. It has torment. But God's love can cast out that fear and anxiety. He's able to give us peace and rest in the midst of circumstances. And then when we do that, we're able to yield to him and to what he wants to do in our lives. We all face fears. It comes in all shapes and forms, but we don't want to be governed by fears. We don't want our lives to be governed by fears, but we want to look to God, to trust in Him and to believe and to declare His word that He's with us. I remember years ago, I was really struggling with just problems with in my body, and it was keeping me from wanting to minister and lead worship. And so I would just not put myself on. I'd put other people on. And then there was a Sunday when I had to. I had no choice. So I was like, oh, Lord, you know, I'll have to do it. And I was so anxious and worried. And we came to church and we worshiped for a time. And, you know, during that time, I just felt the love of God. He just surrounded me. And I understood that He wasn't going to let me go through that alone, that He was going to give me what I needed to do, what He was asking me to do. And sometimes when we know what God's asking us to do, we can struggle with those fears and anxieties. But when we recognize God's love for us, He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to ask you to do something that He won't give you everything you need to accomplish it. And God's love for you is very real in those times. But the key is this. God's love is everlasting. It's there. But how do we experience His love? How do we know His love? The key is found in John 15, 9 through 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And so we see that to dwell in this place, to experience this love, we need to abide. God's love is there. God's love has been there. But will we yield to the Lord? Will we abide in His love? And that speaks of keeping His word. And He says, but it also involves yielding to the Spirit and allowing the Lord to take us into those experiences of the breadth and the length and the heights and the depths where that love can be worked into our lives. You know, sometimes, as I said, those paths may not seem like love, but they are love. All of God's paths are mercy and truth. That's what Psalm 25:10 tells us. All of His paths are mercy and truth. And the path that God leads us on is the pathway of love, of goodness, and mercy. And so God wants us to experience that day by day as we abide in Him, as we yield to Him. You know, we can resist and say no. And if we do that, we won't experience that aspect of God's love. And that's very important, as we'll see in just a moment. But when we truly believe God is with us, when we understand God's love, and we know that He's going to give us all that we need, then we can truly embrace Romans 8:28. And that's in the verses just before when Paul says, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We can know that all things work together because of His love, because nothing can separate us, because He's going to give us all that we need if we will abide and yield to Him. And it's important because in Ephesians 3:19, of experiencing these aspects of love, because it says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, with all the fullness of God. So as we follow the Lord in these experiences and allow His love to minister to us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work of the love of the Father in our lives, it stretches our capacity. It stretches our capacity so that we can contain more and more of God. God wants us to be filled with His fullness. He wants us to be filled with His fullness. He wants us to display the beauty and the glory of God in our lives. He wants that to overflow. You know, in Psalm 23, David talks about the different seasons he went through besides still waters and in green pastures and paths of righteousness, times when he was restored, but also in times when he went through the valley. But there, you know, David declares, even there, God's love was deeper still because God's rod and His staff, they were a comfort to him. But then he comes on to a place of victory where he's having a feast at his enemy's table, and there's fruitfulness and there's anointing. And what does David say? My cup runs over. My cup runs over. There was a fullness in his life because he'd allowed God to take him through all of those experiences. And God wants our cup to run over. He wants to fill us with the fullness and the beauty of God so it can be displayed amongst the nations. But we need to yield to those seasons in our lives so that the love of God is shed abroad in our lives, and allowing God to work that love in our hearts. You know, that love, that agape love, comes from the Father. And there's a Father's heart and a mother's heart God wants to develop in our lives as we go through those experiences, so that we come to that place where we will lay down our lives for one another, where we'll have the love of Christ for each other, and where we'll be willing to give even if we receive nothing in return. That was the heart of Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, I'm skipping a verse, Barb. 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But that didn't matter to Paul. He said, I will gladly spend and be spent. I will give even if I'm not loved in return. But that's the heart of a father. That's the heart we see in God the Father, who gave his Son for us. And so as we walk through these experiences, God changes us. He gives us the heart of a father and the heart of a mother so that we can truly love one another. And that's where the fullness of God will come. And we might say in our minds, well, that just seems impossible. That just seems impossible to be filled with the fullness of God. But you know, God has great and glorious things planned for us. And I know right now some of these things just seem so far off, but we will see them with our eyes. In our human strength, it's impossible. But Paul encourages us in the very next verse, Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Oh, it's in God. It's in God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. That is talking about being filled with the fullness of God. It's talking about understanding the breadth and the length, the depth, the height of God's love. And as we walk through those things, God will do that work in us. He will fill us with the fullness of God. And we will come to that place like that we can display the beauty and the glory of God. And here Paul, he's encouraging us. It's not in us, but it's in the Father. It's in the Father. Pastor Billy said this in the Song of Solomon book. He said, in the last days, the word of the Lord through Moses shall be fulfilled. And this is from Leviticus 26:12. I'll just read it to you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will be my people. And he goes on to say, we are going to see Christ revealed in a way we have never thought possible in these last days. Christ will manifest himself in and through living temples, his people. He will manifest himself unto the nations through the garden of people's hearts. God's going to do it. We are going to be a people who are like our God, who display the beauty and the glory of God, who are filled with the fullness of God. And it will come. It will come as we walk by faith in the things that God's speaking, and as we allow him to work that love in our hearts. But we need to abide in that love, but we need to remember God's love is there in every situation we go through, because sometimes if we battle like that, we can miss what God wants to do in that situation. And so, you know, we ask ourselves, where am I today? What is God doing in my life? Am I in the heights? Is God working his heights of love in me? You know, am I going through a time of victory, a time of fresh experience, a time where the anointing is just flowing afresh? Are we going through the length and breadth? Maybe we're being stretched. Maybe the pressure is coming and we feel pressed out of measure. Maybe God's asking us to go the extra mile for someone. Maybe you're in the depths. You know, maybe you're going through a time of confusion or sorrow, a time of trouble. You know, God wants you to experience his love. He wants you to know he loves you, and he wants you to yield to him and to abide in his love in that circumstance so he can work in you. God will give opportunities. God will give opportunities. Years ago, and I'll close with this, years ago when I was younger, there was someone in my life who started speaking things that weren't true about me and telling people things. And it was so hard for me. And I really wanted to say something, of course. We all had to defend ourselves. And I remember I was praying in my room, this is before I was married. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to lay down your life for her, this person. I said, I'm like, that's not fair because she's wrong. She's not in the right. And I said, Lord, I can lay down my life for you, but don't ask me to lay down my life for her. And you know what verse came to me? And I don't have it in here, but it's that the Lord demonstrated his love for us, that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I realized, well, he did that for me. He did that for me. And I recognize in that small experience, the Lord wanted me to have a depth of love that I didn't have before, to come into something that was beyond my flesh. And you know, when I said, yes, Lord, help me, something came into my heart and I was able to do it by the grace of God. Now, that's just a small thing, but I just want you to understand, I'm sure you all have experiences. It's very real. God can give you what you need. And God has each of you in different experiences. You know, maybe some of you have someone difficult in your life. You know, God knows. But God can give you what you need. And it could be that he wants you to experience something fresh of the love of God. And as we do that step by step, experience by experience, like David, we're going to say, Lord, my cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I'll just close with a prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, we really are just such poor, needy people, but God, we recognize the power of your love, that you love us, that you're with us, that you will bring us through. And Father, we want to turn to you in all these experiences that we're facing. Lord, you know what's going on in each of our lives. But Lord, you want to work something new and fresh in these experiences, a depth of your love, a depth of your beauty and of your glory. So Lord, we just come before you and we say, help us, Lord. We don't have it in us, but Lord, we know you can give us what we need. Lord, that we would abide in your love and yield to what you are saying and yield to the work of your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we long to be filled with the fullness of God. We want to be a people who display your beauty, your glory, and your power amongst the nations. So Lord, come and meet with us. Come and speak to us, O God, and move afresh in our lives, we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are able to do it. Oh, Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Lord, we love you, and we just give you all the praise and the glory. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen, Pastor Jason.